Acts chapter 17, we will go on and remember it's a turning point how the mother and what she is doing informing the mystery of iniquity. Tremendous doctrine here, okay, because it's happening today. Remember, Satan was thrown for a loop, right? And she came to a grinding halt back there in Acts 9. Well, she's quickly regrouped. And that's what lesson 33, 34, and now there's lesson 35. We're going forward trying to gather more doctrinal evidence regarding her. All right, Acts chapter 17, let's look at verse 5. But the Jews which believed not. Now notice, remember how the false religious system has already mixed with government. Watch now how the false religious system, it becomes even more subtle. It becomes even more crafty. It's starting to use, as the Bible calls, certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. We're going to see that this false religion now mixes with the scumbags of this world and tries to get you in trouble with the government. Look at it in verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. Envy is the motivator, as we've seen so many times. Took unto them, so there's the false religious system. They were moved with envy, and look who they got to help them. Took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Notice, the false religious system takes scumbags of society and they assaulted the house of Jason, causing the whole city to be in an uproar. Verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, that's the government. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. Notice, I can't help but say it so many times yet. The mother is operating today by taking a false religious system, mixing it with government to try to get the believers. That's why the mother is that great city, Vatican City, which reigns over the kings of the earth. It is both. It is a false religious system mixed in with governments today. Now, what city do you think it is? Not like the heretics tell you. It's not Rome. Rome does not reign over the kings of the earth. Vatican City does because it has to have the Roman Catholicism associated with it. Now, notice verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Notice, now they're saying, oh yeah, he's going against Caesar. That's treason. See how they try and get you all screwed up? They sure do. Verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So they had to post bond. All right, I'm just trying to get you to see, clear as a bell, the mother mixes with false religion, designed to mix with government, designed now they're using certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. All right, now go to verse 10, and let's go on now to the end of the chapter. Now watch closely. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, that's what you should be doing, and searched the scriptures daily, what you should be doing, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Notice the results of having a ready mind, not open. See, open minds are like garbage cans. They take everything in. Don't say I have an open mind. You want to have a ready mind. You're ready to hear the truth and then search the scriptures daily. Then you'll believe. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Notice, continual pursuit of the adversary's little minions to get Paul. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, The Apostle Paul went to the people, at the priest's lips, they should keep knowledge. And he knew this, but they didn't. And he disputes with them and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Now watch more of the harlots and abominations that belong to the mother. The product, the production of the mother's teachings. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Now, here's a tremendous trick that the mother is going to use. We're going to see in this passage regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark it down. Verse 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine, whereof thou speakest, is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears." Notice what truth is to the mother's peoples. Strange things to our ears. That's why when that heretic Phelps said, "I've never heard of the establishment commandment, and no one I've ever met ever heard of it. It's a strange thing to our ears." It sure is. Truth is always strange to the ears of little minions of the mother. "We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Watch the great soul winner Paul. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Remember this, superstition and unbelief go hand in hand. Always. Mark it down. People who won't believe the Bible will stand in line at Walmart and pick up a National Enquirer to read about the boy who had 14 heads growing out of his left ear, and he was raised by leprechauns in outer space and then cast to the world and raised by wolves in some cave in Montana. They'll believe that story, but they won't believe the Bible. Superstition and unbelief go hand in hand. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," this is Paul talking, "for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." They had so many altars there, these mother's children, that they even had one that said, "to the unknown God," in case they missed one. Hey, to the unknown God. And Paul springboarded from there. He grabbed that opportunity as he becomes all things to all men that he might win some, and he starts there with Romans 1 truth. Look at it in verse 23. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God." Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." It's not wrong to quote the heathen when the heathen are right. Because a broken clock's even right twice a day. And sometimes the heathen get things right. Listen, you should love truth in any arena you find it. Now, specifically, I'm talking about the Word of God. You should love it from cover to cover, period. But there is truth in many arenas. Love truth when you find truth. Verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." See, the mother, still, all of that stuff from the Old Testament of idol worship is still spilled over, is still running strong. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why? Notice carefully verse 31 out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul, what he says, "Because he, that's God Almighty, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained." Who's that? "Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised them from the dead." Mark it down. Here's the big trick that the mother uses today among so-called believers and in the world. Listen closely. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, some people, you might think that that's some kind of devil sign, because I do that with my fingers or I do that. Listen. "Unto the pure, all things are pure. And unto them which are unbelieving is nothing pure. but their conscience, their mind is all defiled. Listen, I don't think of evil. Charity thinketh no evil. This means, you know what? God gave me these fingers that I use to hold his book to preach. Got it? So don't worry about how I twist them around. Pay attention to the words. Okay? Because he, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as the mother would have you think, is glad tidings to the world, right? Because the shepherds heard it as the angels and the host of heaven proclaimed it at his birth. Okay, and then at Christmas Day they tell you, which is a total lie. And then, of course, this resurrection, they get you to believe in Easter that it's a good thing. And everybody on Easter pagan Sunday morning gets up saying, Christ the Lord is risen today. And they're singing when they get their new Easter clothes and their little Easter bonnets. And they go to church and they got the lilies out there. And they go home and they have the little cake that's like a lamb with the frosting on it. And they eat all the other stuff. Let me tell you what. All of you people out there who are unsaved, and there's billions of you who are thinking that Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is glad tidings for you, you have been lied to by most likely some person who you think knows the Bible. Okay? And all you stupid, dull, blockhead, so-called believers who are preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ to unsaved people as glad tidings of good things, you don't know the first thing about God's book. Because according to the Apostle Paul, who God commands us to follow, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not glad tidings to unsaved people. Do you got it? Look here in verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherewith he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised them from the dead. God Almighty has appointed a day for all unsaved people in which he's going to judge them. God Almighty has given assurance unto all men by this person he has ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the assurance is he has raised them from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ to unsaved people is proof positive that their judge is alive and well and he's coming back. And what kind of mood do you think he's going to be in there, old unsaved man, when he comes back? 2,000 years ago we murdered him at Calvary. You see? And you've rejected the gospel about him that God Almighty tells you in this great book. And when he comes back, he's going to take you in flaming fire. And he's going to take vengeance on you because you don't know his father and you don't know him and you don't obey the gospel regarding him, Thessalonians says. So here, for all you believers, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not glad tidings. But the mother has tricked everybody to go out there and tell that to lost people. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is glad tidings to the believer. Notice in Romans. Notice in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. But you're already saved in chapter 3. That's why he starts off chapter 5. After he told you how to believe, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is told to people who have now believed in Jesus Christ as glad tidings. Mark it down. The resurrection of Jesus Christ by the Apostle Paul is never preached as glad tidings to unsaved people. Paul knew how to preach the resurrection, but the mother has tricked all the so-called preachers and teachers today and all you so-called believers out there into thinking that it's glad tidings to unsaved people. That's why none of you lead anybody to salvation. You see that? Okay, verse 32, and when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So by the way, if you just mocked what I explained to you about the resurrection of the dead, you joined that unsaved crowd right there who was mocking. They were mocking for different reasons. Don't you mock. We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius and the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So, see, that he might win some. The Apostle Paul won some of them. All right, Acts chapter 18, more evidence, verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Again, unsaved people guided by the mother will always oppose themselves and blaspheme. Blasphemy is to speak against. That's exactly what they did against the Apostle Paul. Same thing today. See, as the mother, remember now, in these last two lessons, this one and the one previous, we're seeing how the mother is adjusting quickly and forming the mystery of iniquity, the secret sin program that Satan has operating today. All right? Now, verse 12 of the same chapter. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. Notice, again, the false religious system, they make with one accord an insurrection against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Again, the false religious system mixes with the government to tell lies about you to get you. You see that? I'll tell you what, listen, I lived for 5 years in federal prison. I know what it's like to have the stigma of convicted felon. I also know what it's like to have all of your civil rights completely and fully restored and pardoned by the governor of the state of Kentucky, Ernie Fletcher. I know what that's like too, so he who laughs last, laughs best. Alright? See, you all never heard the end of this story. But I know what it's like to have that stigma and to be brought in there. And all these constant things and before judgment seats and authorities and Paul thrown in and out of prison. You see, the mother wants to discredit the messenger. Because when you can't attack the message, they could not thwart Paul's words, you attack the messenger to destroy him. Happens every single time. All right, Acts chapter 19, look at verse 8. Acts chapter 19, look at verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. I was 3 months on WSLM radio. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. Sorry for these texts and emails during all this. But spake evil of that way. Let's see here. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Notice the Apostle Paul's wisdom as the person who led those people to salvation, the disciples there. He separated them. Part of the job of a good Bible teacher is to watch for your souls, Hebrews says. Okay? And I do that, especially in the fellowship. That fellowship we have on Facebook is for the ones attending school. I don't care. Some of you are just beginning the classes. Some of you are well along in the classes. But if you're interested in joining the best fellowship on planet Earth, one that believes the scriptures are all authority, not final authority, all authority. Okay, because several people have been kicked out of this fellowship. It's only been there a month, all right? We've had a lot of people want to join. Yeah, no, they've joined. I ask them questions. They say they believe the scriptures are all authority. Soon they're out when they reveal they're not. You have to believe the right gospel. All right, Romans 3. You have to also understand God's establishment commandment. That's our core three beliefs because it's scriptural. But then you have to be involved in the classes. Listen, sooner or later, and for you in the fellowship, sooner or later, I'm going to find out because I keep ferreting this stuff out. And if you're not in the lessons, look, I'm not cutting. Go learn the lessons. If you want to be in a fellowship, people there want to fellowship regarding the lessons. So that fellowship is there. And that's why I watch there so much for all of you and try to warn you. That's why there's a heretic list that many people are going to be added onto it. I've been so busy lately. Okay? But anyways, pay attention. All right. Now, verse 13. All right, verse 13. Now, watch this. This is amazing, by the way, this next passage. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Now notice what these Jews were trying to do. They're trying to exorcise this evil spirit, okay? And now watch what happens. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So you got these 7 vagabond Jews. And the evil spirit answered and said, now this is what's fascinating. Now this evil spirit is truly an evil spirit of Satan. And watch what the evil spirit reveals. Very subtle, but very huge. The evil spirit says, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are ye?" You see that? What Satan is paying keen attention to, and the mother, Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul. Because Paul is right here now preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. More truth is coming out at this point in the book of Acts. More of this mystery truth has already been revealed through Paul about this different gospel that he has, about how anybody can be saved despite the fall of Israel. Listen, and they're diminishing away. So as the evil spirit reveals, he knows Paul and Jesus, you see, but he doesn't know the false religious system. Satan uses the false religious system, but you know what? The issue, the focus in the bullseye of Satan, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. And when you follow the Apostle Paul as you're commanded to in 1 Corinthians 4:16, 1 Corinthians 11:1, 1 Timothy 1, and many other passages in Philippians, listen, you are commanded to follow Paul. Lord Jesus Christ said to follow him because he follows Christ. As you follow the Apostle Paul today as your apostle, you will start to see the life of Christ manifested through your flesh as you walk by faith in the establishment commandment God gave from heaven to the Apostle Paul. And then you will be in the crosshairs of the adversary. Why do you think it's so hard to get these lessons even out on the internet? We have just been dispensing milk truth up to Romans 12 now. It's going to get worse. So that's why I'm asking all of you who believe this truth, put them on different sites. Put these lessons everywhere you can. I'll keep teaching them as the Lord gives me strength and breath. But it's not going to be without the withstanding persecution of the God of this world. He's already a defeated foe. Don't let him scare you. He's nothing. But he's wise and he works in a realm of doctrine to fool believers who are not established. Notice that. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? Verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. That's what I like to do with all the stupid commentaries out there. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Praise the Lord for the book burning. All right, look at verse 23 now. Now, and the same time there arose no small stir about that way. Now watch further truth about the mother. No small stir about that way. Notice in just the 3 short months on the internet here, all the stuff that's happening. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he had called together with a workman of like occupation, and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." Notice all the idols being made and the shrines for Diana, a female deity. Notice that by that craft they had their wealth. See, money's involved. Remember, if you can't understand something, a buck is involved. Moreover, you see in here that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be destroyed, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. A female deity. The false religious system has it. 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, approximately, you have the Jews burning incense for many years already unto the Queen of Heaven. A female deity, the Queen of Heaven. Here you have a female deity. Today, the false religious system has a female deity. The Roman Catholic Church worships Mary. You got it? It's even more subtle, though, because Diana did not exist, was nothing. You see that? The Queen of Heaven back in Jeremiah was a made-up goddess. But guess what? Mary, the mother of the Lord, truly was a real person. So you really think you're doing good by worshiping a Bible figure. You see the more subtlety involved today? Of that great goddess Diana should be destroyed, and her magnificence should be destroyed. Great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Notice, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians, you bunch of dolts." Guess what they're crying out now? Well, I don't know what they're crying out, but guess where they're crying out now? In hell fire, waiting for the great white throne judgment, unless some of them got saved. through Paul's ministry. All right. Verse 29, and the whole city was filled with confusion. God is not the author of confusion, the book says. Satan is. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. Sounds like a preacher's conference today. The assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude. The Jews, what's all that noise I'm hearing? My little helper is making more noise than normal. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Look at what the mother will produce in this false religious system. "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You delusional people. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Jupiter! Let's worship planets that, by the way, don't even exist. Okay? That's in the scriptures. You think I'm crazy? Call me. I'll show you. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess." So, at least he's telling the truth. "Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Notice, they got away with it this time. They could not be entangled in the world's governmental system. The mother failed here. All right, look at chapter 20, verse 1, by the way. "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." Nothing like fighting the good fight of faith with the brethren. You see that? Praise the Lord for that. All right, but notice again, the mother, through a female deity, now a false religious system, trying to stir up this entire city and to get them involved in problems with the government regarding money. You see that? You got it. Okay. All right, let's go now to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, look at verse 26. Now, watch this. The Apostle Paul is in Jerusalem. Now, this turns into an amazing section of Scripture. Right here is a big turning point. The Apostle Paul is going to go back to Jerusalem to try to save some of his fellow Jews. Even though he was warned by God the Holy Spirit through several people, "Don't do this, Paul, because you're going to be bound, and they're going to bind you. And they're going to take you into custody." But Paul loved his fellow brethren. Okay? And this is the last time you're going to see Paul as a free man in the world's eyes. He's going to be taken into custody here, grabbed by the mother finally through the government, and he never gets out of custody. Okay? Never. I don't care what the commentaries tell you. Never got out of custody in the scriptures. All right. Verse 26. Of Acts chapter 21. "Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him." See that? Here again, Satan's little minions, this mother's little minions, will stir up the people and lay hands on him, crying out, verse 28, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man." We finally got him. "That teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place." You're going to see something very interesting here about the mother. as Satan is forming his mystery of iniquity, using the mother to do so here on the earth, this false religious system that is mixed with the governments of the world. Satan has already tried to grab Paul many times through the governmental system. Governmental system we have seen, and he hasn't won. So he's going to bypass the government. Watch. Verse 28, read it again. Cried out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place." That's a lie. Look at the parentheses. "For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." See that? They supposed it happened. They assumed it. Now watch verse 30. Watch how the mother doesn't need the government anymore. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him," the Jewish false religious system alone right here is trying to kill the Apostle Paul. The mother right here is trying to kill the Apostle Paul. You see that? Without the help of the government. Do it themselves. "And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar." Right there is not the mother's doings. That is not the mother's doings to have this chief captain, even though he's the government here, because this chief captain saves Paul. So the mother did not want the government to interfere here. Listen, everyone still has free will. Okay, and these cops on the scene, the cops of their day, these soldiers, they're going to go rescue Paul. So here the mother was strictly using the false religious system. She's not even organized yet. She can't even get together with her governmental system. She's not completely formed the mystery of iniquity. You see? So she just wants to kill him right there when she has the chance. So verse 31, "As they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul." So right there, remember, now it was the government here who saved Paul's life. And that's why Paul then could be brought later unto Rome and write Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and other great stuff. You see that? Verse 33, "Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he," Paul, the apostle, whom I love too, "was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people." You see, Satan hates Christ in Paul. And Satan right there through the mother, through the false religious system, is trying to kill Christ again in Paul. Verse 36, "For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, Away with him! Then as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee? Who said, Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar, and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people." Paul still wants to help them, his fellow Jews, after they just pummeled him. "And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you." Pretty amazing thing what Paul did here. Now he gives them this great speech and tells them how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him. But now look at it in verse 22. "And they gave him audience unto this word." What word? You see the last word of verse 21? Gentiles. The Jews hated the Gentiles and were so envious that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was doing something now different with the nations of the world, and they had been fallen, they had been cast away, and they're diminishing away before their own eyes. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." You see that verse? You should write it on your ceiling. You, the believer, the real believer who believes the King James Bible is all authority, who is truly a saved person, obviously, who believes Romans 3, and who understands that God has an establishment commandment for you to follow. And if you're listening, this is the verse you should never forget. Because this is how the mother and Satan, who is the god of this world, he's the prince of the power of the air, and how billions on this in this world of his children feel about you. Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. That's how they feel. Mark it down. So rejoice. Because we're more than conquerors. All right. Now, look at chapter 23. Verse 1. Paul now is brought before the leaders of the false religious system, now the Jews. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good counsel before God until this day." Now, you know what? Paul says the truth, and look at this in verse 2. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. See that? You speak the truth, the mother wants to crack you right in the face. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." Now the next part is interesting. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." Now I have heard stupid, dolt, blockhead, foolish, unbelieving preachers say, why would Paul say that he was a Pharisee? Because the Pharisee is a false part of the religious system. That's a man-made thing we've seen when it showed up in Matthew. Why would Paul cry out and say he's a Pharisee? Paul was wrong in doing so, they will tell you. Guess what? The Apostle Paul was not wrong. The Apostle Paul, the great soul winner he was, I guess they never read in Corinthians that he's become all things to all men that he might win some. To the Jews, he became as a Jew. That's why he writes that. He was a Jew, but what does he mean he became as a Jew? He meets them where they're at. He meets them. I tell people all the time, "Hey, I used to be Roman Catholic." No, I'm sorry. I say it differently. I say that after they're saved. I've said to many a lost people, "Hey, I was raised Roman Catholic." Now, if they think that I'm still Roman Catholic, that's on them. But that's why Christ in me leads people to salvation, because I know how to do it. That's why Paul said this. Verse 6, but when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, heretics, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Oh, now you got, at least they believe that, but they're still heretics. Verse 9, and there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God." And now notice verse 10 again, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them. Notice the division right there is so chaotic, this chief captain was right. Paul would have been torn in pieces by both ends. No, Paul, let's believe him. The Pharisees are saying, Sadducees, no. And they're just ripping on him. They're going to pull him and separate him literally, physically in two. In pieces, plural, man. But so again, the mother is trying to kill Paul there. You see that? But the government rescues him again. Commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Now watch this very closely. So the government actually rescued Paul from being killed again. And he'd just been pummeled. Verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, now that's an important verse for you believers. It was the night following. Sometimes you just get pummeled in this life. I've known it. There's times when I've turned my face to the wall in federal prison in solitary confinement in great pain, but with just the Bible, and loving the truth, but still in pain. And sometimes you just got to know that you're comforted in the scriptures at all times, and sometimes that comfort doesn't come immediately. Okay? And the night following, the Lord stood by him, the night following, hanging there, That's what faith is all about. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, and by the way, you can be comforted instantly at all times now. But this is a good test, as Paul was fully understanding and still growing in his revelations and all of these wonderful meetings he still had planned with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 12. But in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Don't forget that when he said to be of good cheer. That's very, very important. Yes, it is. Verse 12, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Mother still wanting to kill him. See the false religious system? Even though he's in governmental custody, the false religious system reaches out trying to kill him. So the false religious system is surpassing and runs the government. You see that? It doesn't care about governmental systems. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we or ever he come near are ready to kill him. Notice the false religious system bypassing the fact the government has him. We're just going to kill him. We just need to kill him. That's extremely important for you to see. Extremely important. Now, this is getting great. Now watch this. Go to Acts chapter 24, verse 1. Remember, he's told Paul to be of good cheer. Now he's in custody, Paul, obviously. And he's being brought before governmental rulers because of the false religious system. But they're still just wanting to kill him. That's how the mother operates today. See this mystery of iniquity? Paul's our pattern. Same thing will happen with you. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest. And I got to say something real quick. The mother tried to get me about 4 years ago. The truth. The absolute truth. I ain't got time to explain it. I don't want to get off the subject. I've experienced this. First of all, I was already thrown in federal prison. Okay, for trying to do the right thing. But that was before I was a Bible believer. I tried to do the right thing. Then I became a Bible believer. So you can't count that one. But many times in federal prison, the mother tried to get her little clutches into me and threatened me with more time because I was preaching. I threatened me with other things. I had Muslims attack me. Okay, trying to get to me. But of course, I wiggled out of that one. Okay? Now, 4 or 5 years ago, I forget exactly when, I was patrolling with Zadok before I started working at the trucking company. I was patrolling because all my civil rights have been restored by the governor of Kentucky. Completely restored. You see, that's called a pardon. You see what I mean? Anyways, as I was patrolling and doing my job, as Romans 13 says, lawfully and unto the Lord, this drunken scumbag, he attacks me. It's on video and everything. Attacks me. Drunken. And it was in a restaurant where I was on patrol there as a canine officer. He attacks me. And I do my job. After he then smashes out a plate glass window and I go out there. Whoa, whoa, settle down, settle down. He says he's going to kill me and slice my blankety blank throat. It's on video and everything. Witnesses there. Well, then, of course, he attacks me. And then I try to bring him under control and he lost the fight. That's really why he was got all ticked off. Yeah, listen, you're dealing with a guy who's come from Chicago, okay? I had many of fights like this. So me and my dog, we won. Did exactly the force necessary that had to happen as he attacked me. So the police come out there, interview the witnesses. They look at the video, and they list me on the police report as the victim because they were right. I was attacked. I'm the one attacked. 2 years later, the police come to my house and lock me up on a felony for assault. 2 years later. I know it sounds screwy. It was. So the mother tried to get her claws on me again and get back in federal prison. Mixed me up again in the government. I didn't even do nothing. I'm the victim. The victim. And this happens. Well, of course, I have to get an attorney and pay all that money, and the charges are reduced from a felony to a misdemeanor. But if I pled guilty to the misdemeanor of assault, I wouldn't be put in prison. I would just get a supervised release. Like I cared about my record. I already got all that other stuff on there. So, of course, I got out of it because I knew, what do you think I'm going to do, go to court and wave the flag of truth and justice? No way. If I would have gotten state prison, the mother would have got her clutches into me again. So I got out of it. But she's always trying to, and that's a true story. I have all the documentation and the video still, so if you all come to the fellowship, I'll show it to you. You see, so I've lived these things. All right, chapter 24, verse 1. Man. And And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. So the mother is going to show up with fancy people speaking. Verse 2. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness. Notice the Jews, the false religious leaders, telling and mixing with the government to testify against Paul. Verse 2. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. Notice, the false religious leaders are saying he's a pestilent fellow. They called Jesus Christ a fellow when he was here on the earth. They're calling Jesus Christ again a fellow in Paul. And a mover of sedition among all the Jews. He's a mover of sedition. He's creating treason throughout all the world. I'm sorry, throughout the world. And a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Make him sound like David Koresh or something. You see that? Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. Now watch this little twist. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Notice, the false religious leaders turned on the government and accused Lysias of police brutality. Oh, with great violence he took him away out of our hands. Telling that to a governmental ruler. They're putting a beef in there, a complaint against police brutality against Lysias. Verse 8, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also ascended, saying that these things were so. So they're all united to get Paul. The false religious system mixed with the government. You got it? I'm watching the timer. Okay, now watch this. Remember the Lord told Apostle Paul to be of good cheer? He told him that. Now Paul is Paul taught Romans truth. Be of good cheer in your in glory in your tribulations is Romans 5 truth for new believers, verses 3 to 5. You see that? But sometimes you got to be reminded when you get pummeled. And so Paul was reminded, be of good cheer, Paul. That's what it means to glory in your tribulations. Be of good cheer. That's the definition of it. Verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know, this is Paul speaking, that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Paul had to be told one time and reminded, and he got it. You see that? That's what I'm talking about, people. This is what I'm talking about. More cheerfully answered for myself. And he goes down through this wonderful, do I got time?